I am your host, Sharon Benninger. So delighted that you decided to join us today. And right here on the Marketing Pulpit, of course, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to dial in 215-383-3872. 215-383-3872. If you have a question, just push number one and you will be put into the queue for questions. To all my faithful listeners, I just want to say thank you so much for your support. You are the best. Thank you so much for your support since day one. For those who may be new today, welcome to the program. Welcome to the program. And as you know, you can listen to the Marketing Pulpit Monday through Friday. That's right, Monday through Friday. You can listen to the Marketing Pulpit on Monday. There's been a shipment he broadcast from New York. On Tuesday, of course, I held it down here in North Carolina. And then on Wednesday, Poncho Brown broadcast from Baltimore, Maryland. Thursday, Anthony Griss, former NFL player, he broadcasts all the way from Pennsylvania, and then our founder on Fridays, Robert Gatewood and Alina Stephan and William Maxwell, they broadcast from D.C. Don't forget to put your information into our directory. Just go to www.marketingpulpit.com. Put your information in our directory. It is free. We'd like to know who you are. And also, if you have a business, our clients may want to be a part of your business. So go to our directory at www.marketingpulpit.com. Today, we are talking about minimizing the impact of divorce on your small business. Minimizing the impact of divorce on your small business. And believe it or not, a study has been done regarding divorce and the economy. Is there a correlation between a healthy economy and divorce? Or an economy that isn't healthier? Does it have a negative impact on the economy? And research by the Marriage and Religion Research Institute found that marriage is a key contributor to human capital, or the ability for a person to have a positive impact on the economy. And that study shows that marriage causes economic growth and divorce can cause a negative impact on the economy. Besides the population being affected, the business employees are affected, partners are affected. And that was, I thought that was a very interesting study that was done by the Marriage and Religion Institute, and what they found, very, very interesting study there. But not only that, but does divorce have an impact on your business? And if it does, how can you minimize that impact? And as you know, divorce can be a very heart-wrenching thing. It can be emotionally draining, very stressful. And so we wanted to touch on that topic a little bit today. In addition to distributing the assets and trying to figure out who gets what when it comes to business valuation, there are some things that you definitely can do to minimize the impact of divorce on your small business. But let's take a look, first of all, at some things that have been found regarding divorce in small businesses. One of the things that I found very, very interesting is very often entrepreneurs, of course, we're busy getting our business together, getting our business model, our business plan. We're interested in doing all those things, but we very, very seldom think about what may happen if husband and wife or fiancés go into business together. What happens at the end of that journey? And we don't like to think about that, but time has told us that we have to think about things like that. What could happen if the founders of the business get divorced? Or what happens if you have a business before you get married? What happens to those assets? What happens if you get married and then you form a business? Or what happens if you inherit a business from your family while you're married? What happens to those assets? Now, one of the things that we want to make perfectly clear, we are not legal advisors, and I advise you to seek counsel on any of the things that we talk about, but these are just things that you want to consider. In the event that you have a business, you may be single right now, you may be married. These are things that you need to consider before you start that business. What's one of the things that you need to do? You've got to plan ahead and sign on the dotted line. And what do you mean by sign on the dotted line? Prenuptial agreements, shareholder agreements, buy-sell agreements are very, very important if you own a business. And again, you want to seek legal advice, but there was someone who wanted to start a business and decided to do some research with 10 businesses and that failed and wanted to know what were one of the primary reasons that the businesses failed. One of the key reasons that businesses had failed was because of divorce and the impact that divorce had on their business. So not only do you want to make sure you have your paperwork in place, but you also want to make sure you have an attorney that's working for you. Number two, make sure you have an attorney that's working for you, not wanting to prolong and drag out the proceedings because that can have a devastating effect on your business. And also you want to have people who you trust as your personal advisors, whether it's parents, whether it's siblings, people that you trust, because sometimes when you're in a situation and it looks like the business may have to be divided, assets may have to be divided or whatnot, sometimes your thinking can get a little bit skewed, especially if you're emotionally attached to a business that you started or that the two of you started together. Another key thing that's going to be very, very important in minimizing the impact of divorce on your business is when you go to hire a business valuation firm. What is a business valuation firm? Why would you need one? It's very important to look at that. A business valuation firm, of course, a business valuation firm is the firm that actually comes in and puts a value on your business. Puts a value on your business, and sometimes the price tag for those businesses can be very steep, upwards to $25,000, depending on the size of your business and what that company has to do in evaluating your business or putting a value on your business. So you definitely want to make sure that you research that out. And if possible, if you have to have a business that values your business, if possible, use the same one, because it would it make good economical sense to hire two different valuation companies or firms? But sometimes people can't agree and they have to do that. Another thing you want to do, if possible, try to avoid splitting the business down the middle. Because if you have two partners that are involved and you're in the middle of a divorce, that could definitely put a heavy cloud over the business. And sometimes it's best just to have something in your agreement where you buy out the other if possible. And that may not be possible. That's why it's good to touch bases with your legal counsel before you do such things. And, you know, you're probably wondering, why would you want to talk about that today? Because these are things that you need to take a look at before you start your own business. How do you minimize the impact of divorce on your business? And when we come back, we actually have a couple online that has been in business together, been in ministry together, and they've been together for a long time. They were actually guests on our show on last week. When we come back, we're going to talk to them about how they did it. How did they do it? How are they doing it right now? How are they minimizing the impact of divorce? How have they avoided divorce? We're going to talk to them when we come back right here on the Marketing Pulpit. I'm your host, Sharon Bennett. Listen to the Marketing Pulpit. I'm your host, Sharon Bennett, and today our episode is Minimizing the Impact of Divorce on Your Small Business. How do we do that? How do we minimize the effect? And some people ask the question, well, what if I go into business before I get married? Is my spouse entitled to any of my business assets? Well, what happens if you have a business before you get married? Well, typically property that you own before you're married is non-marital property and will not be divided when you are divorced. Now, your circumstances could be different, so make sure you hire good counsel to review your business documentation. But typically, if you own a business before you get married, those assets are non-marital property. Non-marital property. And what happens if you own a business is the two of you, your husband and wife, go into business after you get married? What happens if you go into business after you get married? Typically, after you get married, if the two of you own a business together, the assets of that business, the valuation of that business become part of the marital property. So it does become part of the marital property, which means you really need to take a look at how you're going to set that business up before you get married or during your marriage. But we want to talk about how do you minimize the impact of divorce on your small business. How do you minimize the impact of divorce, period? Because we do want to help the economy. We do want healthy businesses. And we have as our guests today, Robert and Shirley. They were on with us last week discussing how they've stayed together for 50 years. They've had a ministry together. They've owned businesses together. So, Robert and Shirley, how are you doing today?
We're doing great, thank you.
Oh, wonderful. We're delighted to have you back on our show again today. And we were talking about minimizing the impact of divorce on your small business. And, of course, you all have a ministry together. You've had a ministry together for a long time. You've had a business together for a long time. And a lot of people are wondering, how do you do that for 50 years? How do you stay together for 50 years? And my question to you, when you got married and even years after you were married, was divorce something that you ever considered or ever talked about? How did the two of you approach the topic of divorce?
Well, divorce has never been an issue for us. You know, although just like any marriages, you know, there are certain things that strain the marriage. I mean, you have potholes that you may fall into at times, but, you know, you just have to overcome it. I think one of the main things we've experienced as far as divorce goes, as far as having a long marriage is concerned, is being able to trust each other, being good financial managers, working together with finances, because there's never been, you know, a lot of finances in our families. It's being able to pool together resources and work it accordingly. And then you have to look at who the better financial manager is in your household. My husband has been, he has managed at some points in times. I've managed at some points in times. And you know, and not going out making large purchases on your own. One needs to be open in regards to that. And business and marriages have fallen apart because, you know, we wanted our money, and it's like wanting our cake and eat it too. It just doesn't work that way. And being able to live within your means, even though you may, you know, have a nice income coming in, but always look out for tomorrow. You know, although, you know, people say tomorrow isn't promised, but, you know, statistics tells us that we need to have at least, what, 6 months resources in case something may come up, a tragic or loss of job, something to that effect. So it's the ability to work together, pull together resources. And what we've discovered is that, you know, trying to make a marriage work on our own is impossible. And you know, it's like a business anyway. You have to run a marriage just like you do a business. You have to come together. If you have issues, have your meetings, get those issues ironed out. So those are some of the things that we work toward in keeping our marriage afloat and having God at the head of everything, because without that, everybody wants to have their own way. And, of course, that's how we were built. We're selfish people. And we tend to work that way unless someone else higher than we are at the forefront of everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you all work in your business or your ministry together, lots of times as entrepreneurs and as business owners and having a ministry, you really focus a lot on the business. And, of course, you hear that sometimes businesses or marriages fall apart because there's so much time focused on the business and not time on the family or spending time together. Do you think that's an important component if you own a business to establish time for the family, or do you find that that's hard to do? And how did you all do that? How did you all decide to make time for the family? How did y'all do that?
Well, for us, you know, our family, we always had time for the family, even if it's church or going on picnics or outing or taking the family on church types of trips. We always had time, took time for the family. We worked hard, during the week, and we worshiped hard on the weekend, and we made sure that our family was involved by having special treats for the family or for the children and that kind of thing. And today, you know, we still do things as a family. We're together. We're involved in every recreational kinds of things for the family. So you have to be able to, you know, incorporate fun as well as work into your lives if you expect it to be a positive outcome.
And Sharon, one of the main things we have discovered is that working together, most of the things that we've strived to do, including the ministry, the children, the family, we've all been involved together. Everybody knew what was expected, and we had meetings in the family. We talked about various things and gave everyone an opportunity to express themselves as far as their recommendations, their concerns. And as we all kind of grew together. Even to this day, our children are still involved in some part of ministry. Even though they're not here any longer, as far as home is concerned, they're on their own, but they're still involved. So some of the things that we learned, some of the things that we talked about as we were growing as a young family are still there today in our children.
Now, distinguishing roles, of course, you mentioned, you know, really knowing who's good at doing what, whether it's the financial piece, whether it's the technical piece. And when I've talked to you before, you mentioned staying in your lane. That's really key to helping a business to be successful, learning to stay in your lane. Can you touch a little bit on what that means exactly, staying in your lane?
And, you know, it's kind of hard for me to stay in my lane because I kind of like to take over because that's my personality. That's why it's important to get to know who you are, who your spouse is. That way you have an understanding. He will understand why I'm bent toward being in control and, you know, making sure that things are in order. He will understand that. He will know that that's who I am. And I will understand, get a good understanding of what his personality and dynamics are, and I understand, you know, why he does what he do. And just trying to merge those two personalities, there are challenges, but once you get an understanding, you will be more patient and understanding with each other. I mean, it's work. It takes work. You just can't go in a relationship blind. You have to really do a lot of self-help with yourself. You have to read a lot to try to understand who you are and who the other person is. So it can work in our favor or it can work against us. And sometimes we just want to do things our way, but then we have to realize that, you know, there's more than one person involved in this overall relationship. And then having God at the helm of everything in our lives, that helps us to realize that, you know, we are selfish people and we do want control over everything. And that lets us know that we can't do anything without a higher power controlling us.
We have been talking to Robert and Shirley. They have been married for 50 years. Not only have they been married for 50 years, but they have ministry together. They also have had businesses and still have businesses together. And we are actually talking to them about how they have done it, how they did it. Minimizing the impact of divorce on your small business. Lots of times businesses are owned by couples, by a husband and a wife team. And earlier we talked about the things that you might want to consider if you're single or if you're engaged or if you're already married and you're wanting to start a business, some of the documentation that you may want to have in place. And, of course, you know, owners can, of course, be the CEO. One spouse could be an owner or an employee. Both spouses could be owners. So there are so many different dynamics to couples and businesses and different types of business arrangements. Well, with Robert and Shirley, we've been talking about how they have made it last for so many years, 50 years, not only their marriage but their ministry, working in business together and being with each other every day. And Robert and Shirley, we want to find out, how have you work together for so long every day, do you ever feel like you need a break? What do you do to make sure that you don't start nagging each other? How do you do that? How do you minimize that?
Well, I go to my room.
And I have a favorite directive that I follow that has seen me through quite a few situations. And that method is, yes, dear.
Oh.
And he has also learned over the years that what's his is mine and what's mine is mine. And if I'm happy, he's happy. If I'm happy, the whole family is happy. We have come to that understanding. But really, to be serious, you know, you have to have one person in your household leading out as far as your relationship to the Almighty is concerned. And he has been the house band or the husband of the family. He's one to, you know, his strength is in that area of pulling the family together. And I have strengths in other areas, such as management and understanding behaviors and those sorts of things. So when you bring all those things together, you know, it makes for a happy family. You may not have everything you want. You may not have the materials you want, but we are content. We've always been involved in each other's lives, in our children's lives, and we're able to sit down and look at the whole picture and look at, to see who's better at whatever it is that we need, and that's what we go for. And it's not like, you know, we don't resent each other because you may have more knowledge or more experience than one another, but it's being able to pool our resource together. Just like you often say, you need to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you. That's what we attempt to do, because we've surrounded ourselves with people who are more knowledgeable, other professionals, or just other lay people, and just people in general, positive people.
Mm-hmm.
We've included those people in our lives. And foremost, we allow God to lead out in our lives, and that's one of the things that has kept us, you know, on the right track rather than facing divorce. Because you know those thoughts come into your mind, but there has to be a level playing field. You have to be focused not on a person's mistakes, but a focus on what our, you know, goals are.
That's right. Yeah. And surely that's very important. Having those common goals are so important, and everybody working toward and understanding what those goals are. You may not always be on target, but the idea is to have that focus, to know that this is the bottom line, this is where we all are trying to get to, and then having the willingness to work that way. I know there were some jobs at one time that I had that the whole family was involved. And even though there were times when the children, as you know, Sharon, didn't want to go and be a part of that working environment, yet it was important. They had to, because that's what Dad was doing, Mom was there. So we learned to work together, even though it was hard sometimes, even though we didn't want to be a part. But having that common goal that everyone is working toward and understanding the benefits of that goal and how it's helping the family.
And also, as far as families working together, you also look out for your children, because you know your children go through as well, and you try to help them find their niche as well in society, where they fit in. You try to work with them to help them to get involved in things that they enjoy and love to do. And you have to be observant of your children, of your mates, just to see what their needs are, and you help them to, you help guide them to meet their goals and needs as well.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, to be in a marriage, which I've heard is one of the hardest jobs ever, to be in a marriage is one of the hardest jobs ever, and to have been married for 50 years and then to add ministry and the business to that can be very, very huge. But what I'm hearing from you is, one, you got to know how to communicate. You got to know if you can work well together. Some people just don't work well together. You know, you have to determine if you can work well together. And I know that you all have put some documentation in place. You have some things in writing, which is really key to married couples that are in business together if you want to minimize divorce or it not happen at all, minimize impact. And then you mentioned knowing what your roles are, clarifying your roles and staying in your lane, and, of course, being able to communicate. And if you have children, having your children involved, talking to your children about what you do. And you also mentioned making time for the family, not just committing all your time to the business. And those are some really huge things. What you're saying is exactly what I found in my research. You know, if you want to minimize the impact of divorce on a business, or if you don't want the divorce to happen at all, there are some things that you can put in place. And you also mentioned having a higher power in the middle of your marriage. And I tell you, it's right on point with the research that I did. And I just want to know, do you have anything else that you would like to say, just one last thing for couples who may be married and in business or ministry together? Any final words you'd like to share with the listening audience?
Sharon, I have one final word, and
yes,
that is getting to know, you need to know about personalities and dynamics. And that's something that just doesn't come natural. I mean, there's tons of resources out there to help you to do that. And I think once you do that, become understanding of what's normal, abnormal personalities and those kinds of things, I think you'll be able to deal with people and understand why they behave the way they do. And you have to embrace people for who they are. Otherwise, you're going to always be looking in another direction rather than focusing on, you know, the gifts that God has already given you and being thankful for what he has given, because if you go outside that line, you're going to run into more and more challenges. So just be understanding. Have knowledge.
That's wonderful. And I think you're right, knowing those different personality traits. And I think people underestimate that, knowing what your personality is, what your spouse's personality, what their love language is. People underestimate that. And they have no clue as to who they are or who their spouse is or who they're working with. Great, great point. Thank you. Mr. Robert, do you have anything that you would like to leave with the listening audience before we go today?
Togetherness is a togetherness thing. Having a common goal, understanding one another, and striving to do each other's own part in making the relationship work. And as Shirley has said, it takes a higher power than we are to take care of those traits, those characters, to help us to blend all that together. But one thing is for sure that I've learned as we've been married these years is to be able and willing to work for the common goal. That means sometimes forgetting about self, not being selfish, but not forgetting self, because the overall objective is to make each other happy. And long as Shirley's happy, I'm happy.
And don't take things so personal.
Don't take things so personal.
Yes, that is true.
Well, I tell you, you heard it right here. As long as she's happy, he's happy. Right here on the Marketing Pulpit, our episode today was Minimizing the Impact of Divorce on Your Small Business. If you're a couple and you're in a small business together, and our guests have been Robert and Shirley, we want to thank them so much for being on the Marketing Pulpit today. And listen, once again, you can listen to the Marketing Pulpit Monday through Friday. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Sharon Bennett. Have a wonderful day.